Fairy Tales of the Kingdom on Radio Kerry. Wonderful Weeshie Wizard.
Once upon a time in the kingdom, and not so very far away, lived a wonderful Weeshie Wizard, who knew more about Kerry football than anyone else. Early one morning, as he was walking through the domain in Killarney, he spied a little skinny red-haired boy sitting on a stone. He seemed to be waiting for someone.
"Hello there,"
said the wizard. The boy smiled and said,
"You're the wonderful Rushy Wizards. I'm going to be a great Kerry footballer. Will you help me?"
"All right, but listen carefully,"
smiled the wizard.
"How many All-Irelands have Kerry won?"
"That's easy. They won 30.
The wizard was impressed. He nodded to the boy to walk alongside him. They walked to Dundag, where a man was rowing to shore in a little boat. As he came closer, the boy gasped. It was Mick O'Connell.
"Hello, my friend. Great to see you,"
said Weeshie. Micko smiled to the boy, then turned to Weeshie, and the two began to chat. Clouds appeared in the sky. The boy's eyelids grew heavy, and soon he was fast asleep. The boy opened his eyes. He was no longer on the lake shore. He was no longer outside. Could it be? It was. He was standing in wonderful Weeshie Wizard's magic cave. On the walls, the little boy noticed a large mirror and counted 14 Kerry jerseys. But oddly, the number 13 was missing. Suddenly, the wizard appeared.
"Now, stand in front of that mirror."
He circled his arms 3 times.
"Magic mirror on the wall, tell me, will this boy get Kerry's call?"
Everything went quiet. The boy looked and looked, but couldn't see anything, not even his own reflection. But then, a dark-haired man in an old-fashioned Kerry jersey appeared in the mirror. He spoke to the boy.
"Play to your strengths. Never miss training and mark your man without fouling."
And with that, he vanished. Then another face appeared. It was Pat Spillane.
"Remember, young fella, the ball moves faster than the man. Be brave. Always play fair."
The little boy was flabbergasted, but suddenly fell into a deep sleep. He began to dream.
"And yet another sublime point by the man with the number 13 in his back. I haven't seen skill like this since the days of Mick O'Connell or Pat Spillane."
"Come on, young man, wake up.
We don't have all day, you know."
The boy was back at the entrance to the domain, and standing beside him was wonderful Weeshie Wizard. He was holding a bag.
"Here you are. Have a look inside,"
smiled the wizard. The boy looked in and pulled out a little old book, a football and a shiny medal.
"3 charms from footballers past, just to help you on your way. A book, How to Play Gaelic Football, written by the legendary Dick Fitzgerald. A football, which once belonged to the great Kerry midfielder Mick O'Connell. A medal, it was Pat Spillane's first, but he wants it back when you win your first. And here, this is from me."
The wizard then took a number 13 Kerry jersey from under his robe. The boy looked at the wizard in amazement.
"But this jersey's miles too big for me."
"Don't worry, you'll grow into it,"
smiled the wizard. And then he was gone. That was many years ago. But now, a question for you. Have you any idea what became of this little skinny red-haired boy?
It must be a goal, Johnny! Goal by the goats! Goal by the goats!
The end.
Fairy Tales of the Kingdom on Radio Kerry. The 3 Healy Rays Gruff.
Once upon a time in a kingdom not so very far away, lived the 3 Healy Rays Gruff. There was Jackie Gruff, Michael Gruff, and Danny Gruff, and they all lived in a little house in South Kerry. One warm sunny afternoon, The three Healy Rays Gruff thought it would be nice to make a picnic and take in some fresh country air.
Well, this is a mighty idea, lads,
exclaimed Jackie Gruff, in between playing his saxophone.
And on our JCB too, so we can see more splendid scenery,
added Michael Gruff, straightening his cap and turning on Radio Kerry.
Oh, Jesus, beautiful,
said Danny Gruff, clicking away on his camera. Enjoying the warm sunshine on their caps and faces, the three Healy Rays Gruff stopped to have their picnic.
Ah, lads, this is the life, isn't it?
Said Jackie Gruff, as he munched on a chicken sandwich.
Ah, life doesn't get much better than this,
added Michael Gruff, sipping a cool glass of homemade lemonade.
Oh, Jesus, beautiful,
remarked Danny Gruff, as he swallowed a boiled egg and took more photos. But as they sat enjoying their picnic, an evil presence was looming. A beast, famous for striking fear amongst the folk of Kerry with its bad temper and obscenities.
Okay, it's me, Billy Goat Connolly. So the three Healy Rays Gruffs are enjoying a picnic, eh? And no, is that a camera I see with them? I'm no having this.
The beast started to descend on its unexpected victims.
Here, lads, look!
It's that Billy Goat Connolly. God, he's a menace.
What shall we do?
Asked Danny Gruff.
I got an idea! Quick, lads! Onto the JCB now!
The three Healy Rays Gruff sped off towards a river that was not too far away.
Go faster! Billy Goat Connolly's gaining on us!
I'm going as fast as I can!
Billy Goat Connolly was catching them with every stride.
Come here, you bunch of Nancy's.
Finally, they reached the river and jumped off their JCB.
Quick, lads, jump on the gondola.
They scrambled onto the gondola and drifted down the river. Billy Goat Connolly reached the river, only to see the three Healy Rays Gruff drifting away.
Your man's mad, huh?
Billy Goat Connolly dived into the water and paddled towards them.
Hey, not so cocky now, are you?
Uh-oh, look, it's coming towards us!
Just then, an alligator popped up.
Where the hell did this alligator come from?
Quick, lads! Jump on the alligator's back there!
Oh,
oh, God! Steady, lads!
With the three Healy Rays Gruff safely on its back, the alligator spun around, and in doing so, smacked the Billy Goat Connolly up into the air and into the gondola. The gondola began to drift downriver without a paddle.
I'll get you for this, you three Healy Rays Gruffs.
And the Billy Goat Connolly was never to be seen again. The alligator safely returned the three Healy Rays Gruff back to the riverbank. Then, the most amazing thing happened. The alligator unzipped its skin and...
Look, lads, it's Fungi the Dolphin.
Well, I don't believe my cap. It's another victory for the three Healy Rays Gruff. Oh, and yourself as well, Fungi.
Billy Goat Connolly was gone forever, and the three Healy Rays Gruff and the folk of Kerry all lived happily ever after. The end.
Beautiful!
Fairy Tales of the Kingdom on Radio Kerry. Cinderita.
Once upon a time in the kingdom, and not too far away, there lived a beautiful girl.
My name is Cinderita Talty, and I live with my two stepsisters.
My name is Mean Burn, and I have the power to read the weather.
And I'm Miriam O'Cantankerous. I have 8 gorgeous puppies.
All I want is to meet my prince and fall in love.
One day, Cinderita was busy cleaning when her sisters walked in.
Oh, I'm sure he'll pick me.
Not a chance.
What's going on?
Prince Thawhi is holding a masquerade ball called the Rose of Tralee to find a wife. We're going to be there.
Prince Thawhi was the most eligible bachelor in the kingdom. He was tall, dark, strong, and spoke in a distinctive accent.
I will go to the ball,
thought Cinderita. The night of the Rose of Tralee rolled around. When the stepsisters left, Cinderita rushed upstairs, put on the gorgeous ball gown she had bought online using Miriam's credit card. She set her phone alarm and put it in her dress. She needed to be home before midnight. When Cinderita arrived at the dome, the masquerade ball was in full swing as one by one the girls went onto the stage to impress Prince Dahi.
Oh, Prince Dahi, I love your eyes.
Ew, my what big muscles you have.
Oh, I love you, Prince Dahi.
Unlike the other girls, Cinderita bowed as she came up to the mic. Prince Dahi was impressed. Their eyes met and music seemed to grow faint. But before Prince Dahi could say a single word, Cinderita's alarm went off.
I'm so sorry, Prince Dahi. I've got to go.
Cinderita rushed home, not realizing that she had dropped her phone as she left the palace. Next morning, the sisters were all abuzz about the mysterious girl who'd lost her phone.
Apparently, Prince Dahi is roaming the kingdom looking for her. And when he finds her, he's going to ask for her hand in marriage,
said Mean, who was wearing a particularly provocative dress that day. Cinderita smiled. Then, a knock on the door. It was Prince Dahi.
Well, hello there. I'm looking for the owner of this phone. Is it one of ye?
Oh, thank you. It's mine.
No, it's not. It's mine.
Girls, girls, girls. I can settle this easily. Who's the first number on your speed dial?
Pat Kenny.
Matt Aaron.
Radio Kerry. I always text Rishi Show on a Monday. Sure, I love the football.
Well, how's about that? Sure, I'm mad Kerry myself. What's your name?
Cinderita.
Cinderita, will you do me the honour of being my princess?
I'd be delighted to.
Miriam and Mean glared at their stepsister.
No!
This is so not fair.
Prince Dahi put a sash around his princess, placed a crown on her head, and swept her up in his big, strong West Kerry arms, and away to the life she always dreamed of.
The end.
Fairy Tales of the Kingdom on Radio Kerry. On Pocan Durica, the Devil Goat.
The story to be told is from an ancient kingdom of green and gold. This is the tale of a prince who was cursed for his ignorance. The prince's name was Fionn Gwy. He was son to the king of Kiri. Out of all his royal fingers, he never lifted one. He just liked playing football, chasing women and having fun. Until one day, the king said,
"Enough! You will have to show me you can be both brave and tough. The task I set at your royal hand is to climb the highest mountain in the land. And as the proof you reach the highest peak, you shall capture a mystical beast I seek."
"Yeah, no bother. What is it, sir?"
"On Pocan Durica, the Devil Goat. He has green and gold eyes with a black thorn coat. Listen to me, son, and the king you must obey. If you see the devil's punch bowl lake, stay very far away."
"Ah, yeah, sure, I won't even be thirsty. I'll catch him after an hour."
So off trekked Fionn Gwy to the highest mountains of Kiri. After an unexpected 12-hour climb, his legs began to cramp, so he gathered up some rocks and set up a camp. As the prince's eyes began to tire, he saw the beast through the fire.
"The devil goat!"
Crooked thorns shackled its thighs. On its dark face were two green and gold eyes. And on top of its gown, two horns shaped like a crown.
"Hey, come here, devil goat. Come here. I bet you can't climb into this bag here."
"Hey, devil goat, come back!"
Fionn ran and he ran after the mystical mountain ram. But after he had crossed a dozen kingdom peaks, the devil goat disappeared and Fionn Gwy was feeling weak. Every breath became almost too hard to take until the young prince came across the mountaintop lake. Taking no time to think, Fionn Gwy cupped his royal hands and started to drink.
"That is Some very nice water. Who'd have thunk it in this sort of punch bowl-y surrounding? Wait a minute.
The Puckon appeared at the top of Mangerton Peak, and then the beast began to speak.
I am the keeper of this mountaintop lake. This water is the devil's and is not for you to take. To pay for your sin, you shall spend eternity in hell. But as you're so thirsty, in the ocean you shall dwell.
Oh, brilliant! Huh? I love the sea. Swimming with women, fishing and dishing, pints on the pier.
No! I'll turn you into a creature with no arms and no hair.
The Puckon struck the rocks with his crown-like horns, and with a clap of thunder, the prince had transformed. Two fins for arms and a tail for his toes, and on his face, a bottle nose.
What happened to swimming with women and fishing and dishing and pints in the pier, like, huh?
As long as the punch bowl holds water in, you will forever be cursed for your sin. And while under my spell, within Dingle Bay, you shall dwell.
Now still to this day, Prince Fionn Gwy swims in Dingle Bay. Listen past the tourists and the seagulls that yelp. You'll hear a talking dolphin prince asking for help.
How's it going? My name's Fungi. You remember Fungi Day on Radio Kerry? Please empty the devil's punch bowl.
Fairy Tales of the Kingdom on Radio Kerry. Paul Punzel.
Once upon a time in a kingdom, not so far away, there lived a prince in a tower where no ball he could play. He was locked away in the forest, you see, by the mischievous Cadogan from the rebel county. The tower was tall, with no stairway or door, just a window to look from and a mat on the floor. Before we go on, I have just recalled, the prince was a footballer and his name was Paul.
The name's Galvin, Paul Galvin.
Every day he would dream of chinos and football, but as time went by, these dreams did grow small. Locked up and lonely, on his mat he did lay, while Radio Kerry kept him company, day after day. He longed to return to his Kerry clan. To do this, he would have to come up with a plan. Then it hit him, an idea so marvellous and sweet, but for it to succeed, he would have to be quite discreet. He would grow his beard long to help his escape, hiding it under his chin like a roll of tape. Night after night, he would sit there and wait, brushing his beard to speed up the growth rate. The mischievous Cadogan would visit sometimes to yell at Paul Punzel and mock him in rhyme.
Paul Punzel, you fool, with your fashion so sweet, I bet you'd trade chinos for a nice bit to eat.
Knuckles O'Leary, who cut lumber nearby, would also call over and make Paul Punzel sigh.
Paul Punzel, my friend, you've been here for so long. I'll entertain you now with a decent cock song. Alangar, alangar.
Dory Cork, he be known as Alangar.
One evening, Cadogan came as he would to torment Paul Punzel as much as he could.
Paul Punzel from Kerry to heal our big rift. I said I'd call you and bring you a gift. Cause I'm your friend and you look like a dork. You can wear this jersey in the colours of Cork.
As he strolled in the forest to pass the day by, Chieftain Fitzmaurice heard Paul Punzel's cry.
I'm not wearing that.
Quick, I must hurry to get there in time.
Back in the tower, Paul Punzel did plea.
I want to play football for Kerry. Please let me free.
No, my team must win from now on, you see. So forever here, you will be.
At the bottom of the tower, Fitzmaurice appeared.
Paul Punzel, let down your beard.
No bottle.
And he unrolled his beard down to his friend.
And now, Fitzmaurice, would you watch my split ends?
When Chieftain Fitzmaurice reached the top, he declared.
Come with me, Paul Punzel, and the All-Ireland will share.
Taking their chance, they gave Cadogan a few knees.
Take a
And being in the tower, there were no referees.
Oh, right in me cown.
Did I leave the oven on?
Polpunzel and Fitzmaurice escaped from the tower and were back in the kingdom in just half an hour. From that day to this, the players all lived in peace. And about Polpunzel's beard? Well, he issued a press release.
That's the end, like. Story's finished.